Welcome to the Ghost of Christmas edition of The Scare Guy. Glad you guys are joining us tonight. This week we discuss that big shocking moment from The Walking Dead mid-season finale with some very special guests we think you guys will recognize tonight. Also, we're going to be talking about this new craze of haunted Christmas attractions. Kind of crazy. And we give you our picks for the very best of 2017 in horror. Glad you guys are joining us tonight.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews.
Something strange.
Talk. We talk movies.
Who you gonna call?
All right, everybody. This is the Ghost of Christmas Present version of The Scare Guy tonight. We are counting down. Christmas is just a couple of weeks away. And we have a lot of really good guests on the show tonight. Thank you very much for tuning in. You can find us at thescareguy.com, where we cover all the cool, scary, fun stuff, the scary side of The Con Guy, which is our sister, brother network, whatever we call it. My name is Jim. I'm the managing editor of The Scare Guy. You can find me at Con Guy Jim, and I would love to introduce some great guests we have with us tonight.
Hi, my name is Derek. I'm a contributing writer to theconguy.com. And you don't find me, I find you. Just kidding, I am on Twitter, at ConGuyDerek.
Oh, yes, I'm Jill Roby, and I'm at TheLivingRichon.com.
And I'm Brandon Orban Griggs, also from TheLivingRichon.com.
These guys are the ones who won last year's season of The Talking Dead Ultimate Fans. We are so glad to have you guys with us tonight to be talking about the mid-season finale for The Talking Dead, Walking Dead this year.
Yeah,
so
great. Thank you for having
us. And we have the Ultimate Fans, Ultimate Fan with us tonight.
Woo! My name is Candy Ford. I'm originally a friend of Jill's. I am now a friend of Jill and Brandon, a.k.a. Rishon and Rick. Yeah, I was there when the whole magic happened, and I'm very happy for them, and I was very supportive of them being on the show, and I was so happy when they made it. I already knew they were going to make it.
Candy, thanks for joining us tonight. We're so excited to have you with us.
And I'm Cheeseman on the Couch. You can find me on Twitter at ConGuyLuke.
There it is. Hello. Cheeseman on the Couch here, and I follow you, too. No.
You can find me on Twitter at ConGuyLuke and on thescareguy.com.
Thank you, everybody, for joining us tonight. We do have a lot to talk about tonight on the show. Again, the very first thing we're going to talk about tonight, besides the crazy fires that are probably the scariest thing in Southern California right now, we're going to talk about that mid-season finale, and we just will warn you up front. We'll talk a little bit spoiler-free, but we are going to jump into spoiler territory because we have a lot to talk about tonight. That was quite a show.
It would be impossible to talk about it without having spoilers at this point.
I know. Do you remember? I mean, after that happened, it was hard to remember almost anything else in that episode. That was just... Bam! Gut punch. And then we're going to talk about some of those haunted attractions that are springing up all over the country, if not all over the world. And you have some opinions about, like, it's been around for a while anyways.
That's true.
And then, of course, we're going to talk about our picks for the best of 2017. So, first of all, what has been going on with you guys? Jill and Brendan, you guys have been here with us a couple of times, but you guys have been keeping busy, and you guys have a great site.
Thank you.
Tell us about your site.
It's brand new. It's made by me. I have no web development experience, so it's probably not that great. But you know,
it's got a logo.
It's got a logo. It's primarily about Walking Dead related stuff, but we're probably gonna like expand it out and talk about other things as well.
Expanded universe.
We talk about other shows and things as well, and do reviews. I'm a writer, obviously, and he's a marketer, so we're just.
Mostly in the horror genre for the movies, but also just like really good TV shows.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there's not a ton of great ones out there. So we talk about the ones that are worth talking about.
And we'll be doing live reactions to Punisher while The Walking Dead's taking a break.
Hiatus. Nice.
Oh, yeah?
Awesome. Yeah.
Have you guys been watching Punisher yet?
Just the first couple
of
episodes.
Just the first two. We've actually been like saving it to binge once, you know, now that it's on hiatus, The Walking Dead.
Mm-hmm.
What about you?
I haven't even seen any of it yet. I saw him.
Dude, it's good.
I saw him on Daredevil, of course, but I can't wait to watch it. I heard that Jon Bernthal is just amazing.
Oh, he really is.
It's phenomenal. It's really nice to see him with his own show, because he was amazing on The Walking Dead, and his career kind of like blew up after he left that show.
That one I was going to start, so I was going to check that out, because I love him as an actor.
Oh,
it's
great.
It's definitely worth. Okay, awesome.
Oh, and Candy.
Yes, dear.
Thank you very much for joining us tonight. This is your very first time on the couch here with us. You were telling me that you're also a comedian and a voiceover actress as well.
I fell into everything. So sometimes I feel like I'm not worthy of being amongst those who actually bite to do it and crave it and have this whole passion for it. No, it's true. I was waiting tables, and a lot of people like my jokes, and, you know, I'll make a very long story very short. Ended up doing stand-up from there. 9 months later, I was in Aspen. I won Best Stand-Up, got a development deal, came back from Colorado. I think it was a week later I was in Ralph's, and a lady was behind me in line, and she said, "You got a great voice." I said, "Thank you." She said, "You ever do voiceover?" I said, "No." She said, "Want to?" I said, "Gay." So I was just falling ass backwards into everything. And I've been very lucky. I'm not shy. So it all worked out.
Well, shy people don't do well here on the show. So thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
She just kind of fell into this show, too, right?
Yeah, yeah. Jill asked me to come watch.
Well, Jill knew what she was doing. But
I'm very excited. Thank you.
We described you as the ultimate fan of the ultimate
fans.
Absolutely. And Mr. Producer, I think we have a couple of pictures that we sent, and if we can go ahead and show those.
Oh, yeah.
So can you guys tell us what we're looking at here?
This was at the season 7 premiere at the Hollywood Forever Cemetery, to which I did not have a ticket, but... a bit of ambition got me in anyway. That was able. Nice.
That's literally
up there, Candy.
Maybe 2 minutes after we met for the first time.
That's awesome.
Oh,
yeah.
You seem so comfortable.
My babies were growing up.
But what's the thing that's so cool is that you guys met there.
It was an Andrea cosplayer actually who came up to me and dragged me out of my seat and was like, "You have to go and take a picture with this amazing Michonne cosplayer over there," like across the thing. And yeah.
For those who are just listening, he's dressed as Rick in the picture.
Oh yeah, we're looking at a picture of him dressed as Rick and her dressed as Michonne. So
yeah, so it was just like crazy. I met her kind of like publicly in front of everyone, and people like lined up to take pictures with us. And security like asked us to go sit down because I guess we were like blocking one of the exit things. And I was like, "Okay, I'm sorry. Don't kick me out of the premiere, please." And we ended up like hanging out later on that night, and we've been together ever since, pretty much.
That's fantastic. And we're looking at now a picture of you guys with Herschel
and Scott Gimple.
And Scott Gimple in front of an AMC Step and Repeat backdrop. What is this that we're looking at right here?
That's
the season 8 premiere.
Yeah. Season 8 premiere.
Yeah. We kind of ran into Scott, and I was like, "Oh God, like I have to talk." Like, as a writer, I love Scott Gimple, and I was like, "I have to talk to him." I'm so nervous. And Scott Wilson just kind of photobombed us at first, and then he took a real picture.
It's quite a photobomb, I tell you.
There's another version of this. I don't know if he probably doesn't have it, but like, there's one from like right like a millisecond before that, where when Scott like walked by, I was like, "Come back," because I was already trying to take a picture with Scott Gimple, and I was just like, "Oh, I need both the Scott." You know what I mean? Like, I wanted them both in the photo. So thankfully, he was
nice.
What's
pretty amazing, though, all this led to this next picture we have here.
Yeah,
tell us how you guys got to this point.
Brandon's mom.
Oh yeah,
and the Rishon fandom. I have to give a shout out to the Rishon fandom because they were a diligent, dedicated bunch who voted their asses up their behinds.
Wait a minute, Candy?
And Candy?
You said you had something to do with this.
Oh my God, I voted like
she
crazy.
She ran into somebody at her house that knew them, and you got a direct phone call and got them on the show, right?
Yeah, that's what happened. I didn't want to tell you here because I didn't want to feel like, you know, I was throwing my weight around, but yeah, that's how it went down.
I knew I felt good for no reason.
We need to actually describe this picture for anybody who's just hearing the audio.
For those of you who are just listening, there's a picture of them on The Talking Dead with Chris Hardwick as the host and Lauren
Cohen.
And I'm bad with the names.
Alana Masterson.
Okay.
Tara and Maggie.
I've got a glare right where Tara is, and I can't actually make her face out from here.
So they're standing there on the set with Chris Hardwick and Tara and Maggie from the show. So this was at the season finale this past year, correct?
Oh, no, this was
the... It was two episodes before it.
Okay.
Or maybe the episode before it. One of those two. Something like that.
And we were super stoked because we'd met you guys before then, and it was kind of cool to see. Oh, they won!
I knew it was going to happen.
Yep.
I knew. Well, I'm half Jamaican,
she was actually there.
I was like, I was bringing it. The hoodoo and the judo.
I think I was actually the least confident person of all.
Yeah,
like,
in terms of winning.
No offense, but I saw the other, you know, people, and they just weren't, I don't know, they didn't put in the time that you guys put in, I didn't think. I don't think they just phoned it in as to what they did. You can't just have a shirt on that says Walking Dead and go, "I'm the fan," and then you can't be a finalist like that. You guys just embodied every aspect of the show. the looks, the costumes.
The show brought us together.
Yeah.
When I first saw you, I thought you were Michonne. I said, look, look. Were we at Comic-Con? I think it, or maybe one of the local conventions here I saw
maybe
you.
Maybe Anaheim?
Oh, it was. It was WonderCon.
Because we met, because I was dressed up like Abraham, and we got a picture
that's
together.
That's how we, yeah, we met. That's right. Stan Lee's Comic-Con.
Yeah.
That's,
yeah. Stan Lee's.
Oh, you know what's so crazy? Both of you saw me at my old job. Like, that's how I reconnected with Luke.
Yeah, like, the very next day, we're like, way.
Yeah.
Like, we both know each other out of costume, and then you told me about your blog and all that, and then that's how we stayed
in touch. I met you at the same counter, basically.
Yeah. Oh, God. That's hilarious. Oh. See, this was all meant to be, then.
I feel like that job was great for a career.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Chris Hardwick still wants to marry you guys. I'm just putting that out there.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
So, okay, your blog came up again.
Okay, I made everybody uncomfortable.
Can you tell us
series finale?
Sorry.
Some of the highlights from your blog lately, because I saw some cool stuff. Just some, I don't know if I'd exactly call it criticism, but some analysis of things that have been going on the last few episodes of the show.
I mean, part of it, I guess, like the first two things we put on there were just like a little bit about us, but then, I mean, it's meant to be mostly like a critical eye on, The Walking Dead for now, and then eventually other things, just kind of like looking at like the psychology of a lot of the characters and whatnot, and just like looking at it almost on a micro level.
You did that piece on Negan.
Right. Well, it's going to be like a multiple piece.
Which you kind of need that for a character like that.
Yeah, yeah. It was like too much to put in one post, so I'm going to do a whole thing on Negan, actually, just because he's fascinating.
Oh, I imagine. God,
yeah. Especially after listening to it.
Yeah, it was interesting, because I saw one piece where you were talking about how Michonne had been the voice of reason for so long, and then all of a sudden she's abandoning that and going with this... What you guys...
I read that too, yeah.
Yeah, what you called Daryl's dumb plan. Yeah.
Oh, right. Okay,
it was a dumb plan.
We did a video about it, and I was very critical of Michonne, and some of the Michonne fans were not happy with me about it, so I had to explain, I broke down why I hold her to a higher standard. And I felt like she definitely dropped the ball as, like, Rick's official second-in-command. Like,
yeah, she's the first lady
of the first lady of the apocalypse. And it's like, that comes with responsibilities, not just a figurehead. And I think Daryl would have listened to her if she had said, you know what, we're not going to do this. Like, this, don't give him an option.
But then you were also saying that Rosita was the level-headed one.
Surprisingly,
she's kind of come around,
She circled back again. She doubled back, which was disappointing.
Yeah, she's got a lot to make up for. Yeah. I mean, she's been like probably one of my least favorite characters the last 2 years, but she's redeeming herself slowly just because of the fact that she was the only person who noticed how dumb that plan was and tried to talk everybody out of it.
Yeah. Can I ask why you thought it was a dumb plan?
Oh, Daryl's plan?
Yeah.
Rick laid it out clearly that, you don't want to antagonize the workers, which they did. Most of the workers died, not saviors, on that ground floor.
Okay.
And also, no one even alerted Rick that the plan had changed. Like, he's going to the trash people. You're leading him into a hole,
Hello, that's also a terrible idea. The trash people.
Yeah. Well, it's a terrible idea in itself, but then it's
they
like...
They never turn out helpful. It doesn't seem...
She's such a wimp for a 6'1".
I don't trust her haircut. I just don't. Sorry.
Controversial opinion, but I feel strongly that she is the Jar Jar Binks of the Walking Dead universe. She's tall. She talks funny. You can't trust her. She's no use. Yeah. And it is no fault of the actor.
But she
it's just the way the character
is
developed.
Pollyanna is actually
in real life. She's really cool.
Oh, she's really nice. Yeah. Yeah.
So
and her performance is great.
Oh yeah.
My problem is with how it's written. And I'm like, why would you trust her?
We are going to get to that. We're going to put a pin in this right now.
It's Joey Ramone's daughter.
And real quick, I feel as if maybe I'm not registering the microphone way. But real quick, before we jump into The Walking Dead mid-season finale. I keep on wanting to say season finale.
I know. I mixed that up too.
Mid-season finale. Derek, here on the show, we like to let everybody know about some cool experiences, conventions, and horror things you guys can attend. So, Derek, if you can kind of go down. There's, surprisingly, a whole lot happening.
A lot of stuff this time of year. Mm-hmm. So, actually, this is starting in the new year.
Yeah, this is kicking off in the new year. I think we're kind of finished. There are a few things left throughout the year, but it's Christmas. Let's wait until next year.
All right, so, beginning first, there's Hauntland, January 12th to 15th in New Orleans.
Or...
what, New Orleans or New Orleans or New Orleans?
What's the best way? Yeah. Who knows how to pronounce it correctly?
I don't know.
Here
we go. I'm from West Virginia. Walker Stalker Cruise to Cozumel is January 26th to 30th, which has, of course, there are also tons of Walker Stalker cons all over the place, but this is the cruise.
Yeah. I mean, there's actually a bunch of them coming up. I just thought that one sounded the most interesting.
Yeah. Sounds pretty cool.
Don't look at the pictures. Blow your mind.
Oh, I want to see it. Days of the Dead is February 2nd through 4th in Atlanta, Georgia, followed by Mad Monster Party, February 16th to 18th in Charlotte, North Carolina, which if you're looking for something to get your sweetheart for Valentine's Day, you know. Anyway, New Jersey Horror Con and Film Fest, March 2nd to 4th. Monster Mania Con is March 9th through 11th in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. Horror Hound Weekend is March 23rd to 25th in Cincinnati, Ohio.
I think Jake's going to... Is Jake going to Horror Hound? Cheeseman.
He's from Ohio.
On the couch.
I'm sure he is. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
All right, and then Monsterpalooza is April 13th to 15th right over here in Pasadena, California.
Right here in Pasadena.
Pasadena, as they used to say. K-Rock.
really?
Yeah, Pasadena.
Pasadena.
Oh, my gosh. And for those of you who don't know, this show was actually produced here in Hollywood, so... we are very close to Pasadena, but we also are also very close to one of the scariest things that I've experienced since being here in Southern California, which is these fires. It just kind of exploded last week. Me and Cheese were with some friends, and we drove by them up to Santa Barbara this past weekend. I've never seen anything like that. It's like, as far as the eye could see in both directions, everything was on fire.
Oh, wow. And the smoke would go for like miles and miles and miles. It's crazy.
Yeah, so true story, like, we're from San Diego, but San Marcos is the actual name of the town that I live in. The fires got all the way down there, like, 100 miles away, and actually was within, like, 3 miles of our house with the evacuation line. So when all this stuff started happening, I was, like, looking out my window every 5 seconds.
Wow. Wasn't it crazy?
It spans that much. It's crazy.
The entire southern part of California is on fire right now.
Pretty much. I heard this evening on the radio it's actually larger than the city of New York.
Twice. Oh, wow. Twice as large as New York is what
That's
I heard.
Insane.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's nuts. So,
pray for rain.
Pray for rain. Those guys, 6,300 firefighters are on the ground now.
They enlisted the military also in San Diego to use their helicopter to drop water as well.
Oh, are they using the military?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've never seen that before.
I heard that there's some there's a guy and he independently outfitted a 747 to drop water, and he is like now contracted with the state to start flying it.
Oh wow!
I mean, they're just like pulling out all the stops to try to get this thing out. The fire just keeps burning.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Just keeps burning. Now we were talking, and but again, one more thing before we jump into The Walking Dead. I know we want to talk about that, but one of the cool this is our Ghost of Christmas episode, which means Christmas is just like 2 or 3 weeks away, depending on when you're watching the show. But one of the cool things here that we were noticing on the Scare Guy, and Carrie is not with us tonight. She is actually rehearsing for a show that she is kind of helping to produce over in Burbank. Comes up in a couple weeks. All the haunted houses that we all loved around Halloween, seems like they're all back for Christmas. They have all these Christmas versions of these haunted houses. For example, and have you guys heard about this? In Chicago, the 13th floor haunted house presents Krampus, a haunted Christmas for 2 nights only, December 8th and 9th, which we just missed. All right. So, New York, Chamber of Horrors, New York is transforming their 200 attractions into a Christmas horror extravaganza. Bedford, Texas, the Moxley Manor haunted house brings you our 8th annual Night Scare Before Christmas haunted house. Riverside, California, by us, Sinister Point and Live Nation are teaming up to do Twisted Christmas down at the Riverside Municipal Auditorium. And then Portland, Oregon, the Fear Portland Haunted House in Portland is presenting Krampus, a haunted Christmas. Now, is this something new that I have been missing? Because I've never heard of all these haunted houses at Christmas before.
It's a European thing, actually. Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is actually a big thing in Germany and Austria that's been going on for quite a while. I think like more than a decade. Or not a century is what I meant to say.
Really?
And so like they're just kind of doing the same thing here, it looks like, which I'm all in favor of.
It makes a lot of sense because there's a lot of Christmas horror films as well.
Yeah, just Google Krampus, Germany. Yeah. Like, all these pictures pop up of like them going down like streets and festivals all dressed up like Krampus.
We had a Krampus run in downtown LA this past week.
Yeah.
And then Jamie Avera, who has been a guest on our show, you know, the big makeup guy who was like Frankenstein, he's in Austria right now, or last week, and he was at a Krampus festival, and he got whipped. they just come out and whip you.
Wow. Yeah.
It's a big deal.
Okay,
out
me
there.
And Jill probably not down with that.
We're
just not, you know, I don't even need to walk that out to
it's,
you, do I?
I guess
there will be
like...
no whipping of the black women. There will be none.
But what were you saying about, like...
Well, it seems that there are a lot more... It seems like there are a lot more of these Krampus parties just in the last few years. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'm imagining that, or maybe I'm just noticing it more because there was a movie called Krampus.
Maybe.
Just a couple years ago.
Krampus Haunted House or at Universal Orlando.
Krampus is like the anti-Santa, right?
Like
or
the
anti-Santa.
He's like the devil. He's like
children.
The demon Santa.
Kinda. Okay. And he eats Which children.
He punishes children for being bad, I think.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
what he's supposed to do.
Naughty.
Something like that, yeah.
Which Bob's Burgers, their Christmas special, or their Christmas episode was just this week, I think, and they had a kind of a tribute to Krampus. They called it the Bleakin, but
would there be better children in the world if they feared Krampus more?
I think that's what the original idea was. Yeah, and then it somehow like evolved into, you know, adults going to costume parties.
Less spoiled kids and more obedient
kids. It's great for cosplayers like us.
Well, Jill and I don't mean to separate us constantly, but we have black mamas. We good. We good. We got it. We got in no Krampus.
You don't need Krampus?
No, we don't need Krampus. When you got black parents, you all right.
Hey, my mom spanked me quite a bit when I was younger.
Can she reach you around corners, though?
I think that one crossed racial boundaries. I was just a bad kid. That's all there is to it. But nothing like my brother Scott.
I'll hear that from you later.
Horror topic.
We'll talk about that.
Sorry.
Not just these things that terrorized us as children, but
but I am going to put a list of a lot of these haunted Christmas attractions on the website, and I would love to see what people think about these. I have never gone to one. I think I might try one out this year just to see what it is. It almost ruins Christmas a little bit for me. But
really? Where's one now?
Because Christmas needs to be happy and jolly. But, you know, I guess Santa Claus is a guy sneaking into your chimney, you know, in the middle of the night. That's kind of creepy anyways.
Kind
of.
Where would there be one here?
There's one down Riverside, Sinister Point, which is a big haunted house down in Riverside, California.
Okay.
Well, I'm surprised there aren't more, like the escape rooms. One of the ones I did was kind of like a murder scene, which is so fascinating. Like, I would love, like an escape haunted house thing be terrifying, but I feel like that should go beyond Halloween, or at least maybe that's just
let me walk this back. I love Halloween and I love everything scary because, you know, it's the scare guy. I love everything about it, so maybe this is something that I'm gonna really enjoy. You say we've been telling haunted ghost stories at Christmas around the campfire.
Yeah, I mean,
it was
a tradition. Like, I mean, a Christmas carol didn't exist in a vacuum. It was a thing that they did back in the day, telling ghost stories at Christmas.
Yep.
I'm all for this. Anything that, like, you know, furthers cosplaying and stuff. Obviously, I'm kind of biased, but, you know, I'm all for a second Halloween. It's by far the best holiday of the entire year.
Well, it's kind of like The Nightmare Before Christmas, the classic Tim Burton film.
Yeah.
Halloween is now encroaching on Christmas, and Christmas is having to fend it off, so let's gonna see what's gonna win at the end. You know how, like, sometimes holidays mix together and they end up being something else? We'll see what we get.
But there's one in the Midwest. I don't remember where it is, but you have to sign a release. You have to sign a form that you won't sue them for psychological distress. Seriously,
I think we have to do that too for these.
And you have
room.
To go through alone.
Oh really?
Now they'll
alone.
give you a safe word. Believe it or not.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and you can.
That's
I
hardcore.
Saw it on Tumblr. Yeah. It's hardcore, but you have to go through by yourself. But if you give the safe word, they'll pull you back.
This last summer at Midsummer, it was either Midsummer Scream or LA. It was at LA Scared. They had some guys there showing a documentary about some of these haunted experiences, and I think they featured that one.
Okay.
Because
it's a Midwest. I think
so. A lot of people in the country were getting upset with some of these more extreme haunted houses because they you're putting all the rest of us at risk because the liability that you, because they pick you up, they drag you and they throw you down in holes and cover you up with dirt and they do all kinds
you're
of crazy
stuff.
You're
actually touched and grabbed, which is, but they tell you up front.
You are dragged around, tied up.
And then you have to sign a form saying you won't sue them. So, I mean, it's all on you at that point.
I'm not sure I'd be game for
that. What happens if, like, they die of a heart attack and their family sue them?
Last year that happened. A guy died of a heart attack at one of these attractions, but what their defense was, he was in poor health before he came.
Okay. Mm.
But then why did you let him go through this?
Yeah.
I mean,
So I mean, usually attractions like that, they'll have all these warnings out there. Like,
Merry Christmas! Anyway.
It's the same thing with Heart Attack Grill in Vegas. There's a place called Heart Attack Grill.
Oh, right, the big burger. Yeah.
And they put you in a hospital gown before you eat. And if you drop dead there, it's on you. They tell you.
If you can finish the burger, you get a free meal.
Yeah, and they have a wait outside, and their highest burger is like 10,000-something calories.
Yeah,
and
it's like 20 patties, and it's crazy.
Their milkshakes have a little lard in them, I hear, which makes them... You don't taste it, but it makes the texture better. So they tell you everything.
So it's worth dying for?
You know what? I'd
to
give
some
it a
people,
shot. Yeah.
But if it's at least worth the risk, I guess.
A couple people already tried to sue and didn't go anywhere, so.
All right.
Sorry, I'm making it morbid each time.
That's all. Hey, that's our show.
Oh,
that's
okay.
Our show. About death.
That's a comedian's mind. I'm sorry. I'll try to keep it in.
All right. So The Walking Dead Season 8 mid-season finale. It was one for the record books, I think. And I'm going to tell everybody out there right now, we'll talk for a few minutes without any spoilers, but then we'll let you know right when we're going to start kicking into those spoilers.
Spoiler alert.
Right up. Wait, let's stop. Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
I was just going to say.
I don't know what we're going to talk about without giving the spoiler.
There's nothing we can talk about without spoilers.
I have no idea how we can discuss.
Spoiler alert.
There it is.
Thank you. There we go.
Oh, that's awesome. There it is.
Flash those lights.
All right, so we are going to. There we go.
There we go.
All right, we are both. Awesome. So, Jill, Brendan, can you guys tell us a little bit what happened last night? What did we see?
Saw our dreams crash and burn.
Yeah, I guess it's technically not confirmed yet, but we saw what looks to be the end of Carl.
Carl.
Yeah.
The only other original character from the pilot besides Rick, who was still on the show.
You're right.
Yep.
Yeah.
I didn't think about it that way.
Yeah. Glenn was episode 2, right?
Yeah. Well, his voice was in the.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah.
But one of the original.
Was Lori already pregnant at that point, though?
Who's possible?
I'm just saying.
Probably.
So technically,
who's baby?
Probably. Yeah. Oh.
Which episode was Daryl?
It's 2.
It's 2.
2? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So, it was pretty shocking. I mean, I actually thought that he was one of the only characters that they would never kill. Just because, they need people who are going to live to grow up.
Yeah. Well, he's the heir to the throne. Yeah. Or he was. Not Shane Jr. No offense, but...
Is this a big departure from the comic book? Because I haven't
It's
read
a
it.
Major... Yeah. He's still in the comic books.
Yeah, he. This is, totally different just for the show.
I think they deliberately wanted to go away. They're trying to shake free a little bit of the comic books.
Or someone wanted to go to college.
No, well, he actually gave an interview with the Hollywood Reporter.
I read that.
He was
today.
He
didn't
want to
go.
Yeah.
He was stunned. Scott called him in and his parents, and they were like, well.
They told him 2 episodes before.
Yeah, 2 episodes before,
It seemed like he was pretty desperate to get that out to the public, too, because it was literally the second the episode ended. His social media accounts tweeted out that article a minute later. I mean, he was sitting there
He didn't want to. He didn't want to be perceived that he was leaving the show to go to college, because somebody was on our show this past year said, "Hey, Carl got accepted into college. I guess that means we know who the next one to go is." And somebody said on the show here.
We've been hearing stuff like that for a long time, but I honestly didn't think really much of it, because he also moved to the first thing, he moved to LA, and everybody's like, "Oh, he's moving away. They must be killing him off." I'm like, Andrew Lincoln lives in England half the year. That doesn't mean anything.
Right. Well, he's taking a break from college, and then he's doing music, I hear. But what does he do in music?
He's a musician of some sort. Yeah, you're right. But he just bought a house down there in Atlanta.
Sonoya, yeah.
Sonoya. Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
What's it called?
Sonoya?
Sonoya.
Yeah, that's how you say it.
Yep, that's what it is.
Okay.
But it was interesting reading. I think I may have read the same article. He was...
Hollywood Reporter?
Yeah, I think it was. He was very surprised. It was a lot of... They asked him a lot of questions. But it was interesting that he was really trying to salvage his character, and he also felt as if Carl was being groomed to be like Yvette Nicole Brown says, anytime somebody becomes the moral center of the show, bam!
Yeah, he totally gave a Herschel speech, and I was like, oh god.
So he just bought a house, and then he found out he wasn't on the show anymore.
Roughly.
Yep.
Yeah, it was.
I suspected it the entire time, because they started off with this moment with him and Rick, and I'm like, they're kind of doing.
Yeah.
And
also,
they're prepping him, kind of
the letter,
that nice moment. The
first episode this season, Michonne's like, this is your show, and I was like,
yeah, and he also had a line at the beginning of last episode where he's like, we just have to survive tonight. And I'm like, oh god, that's horrible foreshadowing.
Terrible thing to say.
But I guess I didn't realize till later, at the beginning of the episode, he's writing the letter because he knows he's about to turn.
Yeah.
He knows that he's been bitten.
Yeah.
Because he got bitten an episode or two ago, right?
with the guy in the woods.
Which right. Was, yeah.
Which
okay, so
really pissed me off because that's such a dumb way to get bitten. Yeah. To,
how
I'm sorry.
How do you think Rick's going to react when he found when he finds out that Carl was bitten because of this guy?
We were talking about that last night. I'm not really sure because it's like... There's two different ways it could go. He could maybe be really mad at Sadiq, or he might blame himself because
blame himself.
If it weren't for the fact that he had to scare Sadiq off, Carl wouldn't have had to go back for him. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
good one.
I don't know which way it's gonna go.
That scene where he's like crying and he says, "My mercy,
overcomes my wrath."
I think that's Rick reading Carl's letter.
Like, it's the line from Sadiq. That's the first thing that Sadiq tells Carl is the saying that his mom used to teach him from the Quran. Yeah.
Can you remind me when we heard Rick saying that line? Was it this
the first
the
episode
premiere.
Of the season?
That's right. Oh, is it
he's
when
like,
his eyes
yeah,
were red?
But
he's like on a porch or something.
There's a stained glass
like,
window
okay.
up here, yep. but it doesn't show any of like what's going on.
We don't know what that is.
He sort of chuckles and says that line to himself. So I'm assuming he's like standing over Carl's grave, probably.
Oh man, I bet you. That makes a lot of sense.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
That's what it seems like, at least. Because, I mean, I'm assuming that he obviously figures out that line came from Sadiq. I don't think Rick's going to, like, just all of a sudden by himself start reading lines from the Quran.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he's going to make the connection somehow that way.
No matter what the mood is, Rick always looks like he's ready to drop the baddest-ass CD ever. Every position's with that gun, something behind him, he's looking up. It's like, yeah, coming
well,
to you.
Well, let me ask you this, because, and I was also reading this, Michelle has also developed an intense relationship with Carl, almost like her own son. Or what do you? How is this going to affect her? Do you think
she was already kind of coming apart at the seams when she saw the destruction of Alexandria?
Oh my
like
gosh.
Having a home was the biggest thing for her. Right. And mm-hmm. Carl is also—he's definitely like that's her son. Mm-hmm. That's her son.
And he wanted to destroy it so the saviors wouldn't have anywhere to go. Right?
Yeah,
I guess
I feel like Michonne might actually take it harder than Rick in certain respects. Yeah. But she's already pretty vulnerable right now.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that he knew that she knew that he loved her as much as he did before he said, "I would do it for you"?
Remember? Before he said that?
Yeah, before. Remember on the porch?
Right.
Oh, that's right.
Right before the mints and the couch.
Yes.
I don't know. I think they had a quiet understanding because when she tells him about Andre all the way back at the season finale of season 4, and they had that moment in the forest, and he's like, "I'm just another monster," and they have this moment. I don't know that she understood that he felt that way until he said it, but she definitely felt that way for him. Like when she told Rick, "I'm not taking any more breaks," like that was like finalizing their unit. So that's
well, now it's time for her and Rick to make a baby.
Rochon Jr. needs to
give
happen,
him
yeah.
a son.
Actually, so that brings up like another thing though, because the fact that he dies, well, I mean, I'm assuming he's gonna die. That going back to the first episode again, that like flashback or flash forward or whatever it was where he's old, that means that wasn't real because
right.
Carl was in that.
Yep.
Yeah.
So that means it's not. That maybe it's like a fantasy or something.
Okay.
They said that it wasn't a dream, but that to me is not confirmation that it's
not real. Are you suggesting
that
The Walking Dead would give us wasted scenes and actually air them?
I'm suggesting that they said it's not a dream, but they didn't say it's not a fantasy.
My concern is that's Rick. Okay, so Rick is the only one who looks old, like old as dirt. He's all decrepit and bald, and he's missing a tooth. And like Carl is, like,
I thought
the
he had a mullet, didn't he?
Yeah, like I don't know what that is.
A weird white mullet.
It was terrible
mullet,
to do that to that man's hair.
One, right?
It's from the comic.
Andy's got a gray head of hair. That's just not right. But Judith is like, what, maybe 8 or something?
It's like
Michonne.
Like he aged like worse than a president.
Yeah, so
you know,
I'm wondering if that's like, I think it might be like an afterlife scene. Like Rick is the last one to go and he's just waking up into.
And in heaven they play Weird Al.
So here's why I don't think it's that is because the cane that he's using. The reason why he's got a cane is because like in the comic he sustains a broken leg during a fight with Negan.
That's right.
So I find it hard to imagine. I find it hard to imagine that he's like in heaven and his leg isn't fixed.
That's a raw deal.
I think Scott's made it clear that he wants to take a dump on the comics. So like, we can't really say what happens in the comics anymore because obviously he does not I think, like, he's going to tell the story that makes the most sense.
I think that's the reason why, a big reason why they decided to do something like this is because it may have been getting too predictable. Like, I think that people, maybe, like, the comic book people were starting to be able to figure it out.
Oh, and well, not,
this just throws a monkey wrench into everything so much that everybody's going to be like, I have no idea what's
going
on.
Well, not even that, but the comic fans pressured the show so much to kill Glenn horribly, like in the comics, and then people were like, oh, you killed Glenn so horribly, like in the comics. So
yeah.
I think that they're probably like, you know, why are we listening to these people and doing what's in the comics? Because it's not going to make them happy either way.
Right.
So just tell the story you want to tell, which I think they should definitely
It's a ballsy move.
And that's what I love about writers. I'm supposed to be a witness to your mind and what you want to do. And that's why I'm really happy that one of my good friends is a writer. And that's why you find me asking them so many questions.
What did you say about Scott Gimple?
Scott Gimple's got some stones, man. Yeah. I mean, he's catching a ton of flack for this, I'm sure.
Yep.
Killing, I mean, not just a beloved character, but like the only kid on the show.
I know.
Mm-hmm. But that could really happen. That's what I loved about it. It hurt me that he's gone, but it could really happen.
Yeah,
and you don't expect it. So
and
that's
Carl's
real
been
life.
Through it.
Carl's tired.
He got shot in the chest way back.
He lost an eye.
He got shot in the head. Lost an eye.
Yeah,
and
almost had his arm cut off in front of everyone.
Yeah. He's had a time.
Did he tell Negan I'm dying anyway or something?
No,
like
no, he didn't say that. He said you can take me. Oh, that's what it's gonna take.
Can we talk for a second?
That was my favorite scene of the whole.
Him and Negan.
Yeah.
What was going on? Like Negan looked like. That actually affected him a little.
Negan's
Achilles heel is, you know, sincerity and honestly. Like, he has this moment with Carl. He has this moment with Father Gabriel. And he has this moment with Sasha. And it's like, he's still a human being, too, even though, you know,
he just doesn't want anybody to know it.
Yeah. But I think Carl meant what he said, even though he was also delaying time. But Negan definitely, he was reaching him. Like, I think Negan, if it had been another 5 minutes, he would have had them put their weapons down.
I think there's also, like, an element of that Carl is sort of like the son that Negan never had type thing, because he treated him way differently right from the very beginning. And then he's made several comments, like, even to Rick about when he was pretending he was going to kill him in the last season at the end. He's like, you know, if I had a son, I would want my son to be just like your kid, which is why this is going to be so hard. Like, he's always says stuff like that.
Yeah, Negan's definitely going to take this on the chin.
If you said the son that he never had, we don't know a lot about Negan's past, do we?
Not yet, but I mean,
I want that.
I want to see his past.
We will.
See that.
What's the deal with the bandage? Mm-hmm. What's going on with the bandage? That's what I want to know.
What, did he have a bandage?
I don't think there's
an explanation for that in the comic, actually. Maybe there is. I don't know.
I think he's covering up a tattoo of Lucille, whoever she is.
Hmm. Oh, well, that would be kind of cool.
That's what I think. He doesn't want to look at it.
I was just going to say he probably has carpal tunnel because he did data entry for the DMV before the apocalypse happened.
And he's using that same hand to swing the bat just like this.
Why he's so angry.
I was just going to say that explains so much about his like inferiority complex.
All right. I think he played in Good Charlotte, but because they all wore the bandanas. And
okay,
stuff,
that's
so.
A good theory.
You never noticed the bandage? Nobody?
Yeah,
I've never noticed that.
Yeah. And it's never off.
Scott,
it's
if you're listening, you're allowed to take any of these theories and make them reality, please.
There's got to be a reason. I've never noticed. I'm going to go back and look at some of those episodes. Oh, that's something. Mm-hmm. Something has happened to him.
Hand is constantly wrapped up. It's all the way to here.
Yep.
Like,
can I ask you, what about Iron Face? What?
Oh, Dwight.
Dwight. What do you think about his?
I like that name, though.
No, he put an iron on his face. Yeah.
Iron Face.
Yeah. So what do you think about his change? Is he really change of heart? Is he?
Oh, yeah, I think so.
I think so. Yeah.
Especially when he aimed the gun at his own people.
Yeah. He killed three of them.
Three
saviors. I think he gave up that whole savior business once Sherry left.
I do.
He didn't have any reason.
He had no stake in the game after that. And to me, I mean, his personal motivations and his rage towards Negan, with the fact that, you know, he took his wife from him and then he like flaunted it in front of him and like makes out with her in front of him and all this stuff.
Like, she liked it.
And I mean, he's been put through more psychological torture than like anybody else.
I agree.
So he had a reason to want him dead, and that's why I kind of believed him right off the bat. Actually.
But
want him dead too.
What was the best part of that, Daryl? Do you remember what Daryl did?
Oh, he took his jacket.
Doesn't even say anything.
I was wondering that a while ago. I'm like, that okay, so why didn't he give him his jacket back? Like, I'm here. I want Negan dead.
Like, I think the only reason he didn't kill him right then is because he's like, oh, I'm going to shoot my vest if I kill him right now.
Yeah.
I don't want to ruin that. And we do have to kind of wrap up our discussion of the midseason finale.
What about Ezekiel real quick?
There's two people we got to talk about. Ezekiel and Maggie, I think, are having drastic changes in the way their characters are.
Speaking of that, I had Maggie a hard time getting over Chiba.
Getting things done.
Oh, Chiba. Yeah.
CGI or no, that killed me.
But, like, okay, let's think about Ezekiel. Dead or alive?
Oh, definitely alive.
Alive.
I think he's alive.
Carol's got
to
get some.
I just want to say Gavin looks like he's just exhausted, man. Oh, dude. Like, he does not want to do this.
He hates this. He's hated this from the very first second. Like,
he was, like, begging them to, like, just please give him up. I want to not do this today, guys, please.
That was the nicest I'd ever seen Gavin.
He made a comment
to Ezekiel, like, right after Ezekiel closed the gates on him, too. He was like, you know, I always liked you, Ezekiel. Like, even then, when he realized he'd been, like, massively betrayed, he still didn't even have the heart to come down on the guy.
Do you guys think Gavin could turn and be on their
side? Well, Gavin was the one on that scaffolding who was like, can we take a time out?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
When Rick showed up. So Gavin's like on the fence as far as...
You know, I think that a lot of them could turn. And I think, because I was fully expecting a perspective... The Saviors are pretty brutal, but they're also terrorized by this man who's leading them. Mm-hmm. What if they're just a lot of scared people? They're just fighting for survival.
Some of them, yes, but not that savior who pissed himself on purpose.
Jared, the one who's going to
shoot Jesus. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Or the long-haired douchebag. I don't like him.
Well, who's the guy that's trying? Who's actually very nice? Who I trust? He's in the cage. With everybody else.
Yeah. I don't know what his name is.
He's got a kind face.
He's like Josh or something.
Yeah. And maybe a lot of them are like that.
So I'm hoping. I love Ezekiel. I love King Ezekiel. And we don't have to discuss the comic. But for those who know the comic, Ezekiel's not in a good place right this very second in the comic books. Yeah. But I'm hoping that the comic does diverge. And they have done that with some characters.
Because
they have talked about the comic as it relates to Ezekiel. I don't want to give that part away.
Yeah.
But they have
They've
mentioned it multiple times, Ezekiel and certain things that happened to him a couple of times, and they keep on hinting at it. They keep hinting at it.
Which you ruined, because you're like, oh, this may happen.
I was so upset. I just opened up Facebook, and all of a sudden I saw a picture which represented like this terrible, traumatic experience that Ezekiel will have to experience eventually. And I'm like, why is someone putting this on there? I don't want to see that.
Don't ever
Google. People are pretty...
It's like a mission for some people, too. Yeah. I remember, like, on Sunday night, we got, like, emails from people who were, like, just trying to shoot the spoiler right into our face.
Yeah.
Here's
like, aggressively.
Here's this post-caption document. Like, we've repeatedly said we don't want spoilers.
Right.
And it's like, there are people who just want it. They just can't
hold it in. I had to ban a couple people on Facebook.
They
want
to watch the world burn.
We do have about 5 minutes left here, but we have to get to Maggie. Maggie made some hard choices. Maggie was, man, that scene with her in the truck. That was surprising to me when they came up and bam.
I was surprised Simon gave her a deal. Like, I thought they wanted her dead.
Yeah,
I thought that was the whole point. This is the widow, the king, and Rick.
Yep.
Yeah.
And he was like, well, you can go home. It's like, oh, okay. All right.
My theory on that is that because of the fact that Gregory is such a spineless coward, that it would actually be better to let Maggie live because she would be able to run that community the best in order to produce for the Saviors. And Gregory just has no idea what he's doing.
Nope.
I guess we'll let her live because, you know, she'll grow more crops for us or whatever.
Is she still
that's
pregnant?
The only reason
I mean, it doesn't
when is
like
she going to start showing?
Exactly. I'm like, she's been through a lot of stress.
Yeah.
I'm worried about that baby.
Would be really unrealistic that baby's okay. I mean, his mama's blowing up.
Don't jinx it.
Okay, I'm just saying.
Oh, man.
Simon seemed kind of tired, too.
Wouldn't it be awful if the other cross that Rick is standing over in the first episode turned out to be, like, Maggie's unborn child?
Oh, good gracious.
Oh, my God. You need Jesus. In your life.
It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen.
It's like Brad's on the show.
By the way,
Brad did text us. He said that he's been reading that a lot of people are saying that they were actually slowly killing all the characters that they loved, and it was like a slow, painful twist of the knife to watch now sometimes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I barely got over Glenn, and I had to deal with that. So I had to walk out of the room.
I think they've slowed down a lot since
I think they've slowed down the killing quite a bit. Mm-hmm. They have, and yeah. I'm
I was expecting several people to die in one episode because, like, everybody's going to be shocked and about this episode.
Someone else is going to be buried next to Carl.
Yeah, that other grave is unidentified still. So
who do you
that'll
think
be the
it
season finale.
Probably.
Maybe, or maybe we'll like not see who actually dies in the season finale, and it'll be halfway through the next season when they show us who it is.
Come on, Carl, we're pulling for you.
I'm still not over that.
Don't got do.
All right, so
we Carl rolls under a dumpster. He's fine. We find that out next episode.
But if you actually read, it sounds like from listening to reading the Hollywood Reporter, Carl's story is
it's done.
He says blatantly that his character is dying.
Yeah. His story's not done until the next episode, though.
Yeah,
he's got to impart some wisdom to his father so his father can carry
on. And great acting, according to the Talking Dead.
Yeah,
great performance by him.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. And how do you think Rick is still going to have that fire in him now that his
I think it's going to take the wind out of his sails.
Well,
no, he said on the walkie, he's like, "You're next. You're dead," or something like that.
But you saw the prediction of Hollywood Reporter. They had a big prediction. They think how it's going to end this year.
They did.
No more Rick.
Oh,
I don't buy that one
for a second.
I can lose just about everybody but Rick.
Yeah,
Rick's
on.
Gone.
Carol. If Carol goes, I'm gone.
Really?
Yeah.
If the preview footage at the end of the episode, they show Rick and he's got the murder coat on, which he hasn't worn in like a season and a half. And they only have him wear that when he's about to kill a bunch of people. So I mean, and he's got his gun. He's like a secret agent looking around the thing.
The murder coat.
He'll get over it.
That's awesome.
I never noticed that before.
All right. So as we finish up the show, guys, this has been a fantastic discussion. Having you three on here tonight has been just an amazing way to talk about the mid-season finale.
Thank you
so
much. Flattered.
But as we end the show tonight, can you hold that up right there?
No, this right here.
This?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, hey, Brad, thanks for bringing this to our attention. Right here we go.
How about I hold it here?
All right. Okay. So, anyways, this is the New York Times Magazine this past week. They're calling this the Year of Horror. The Year of Horror. They're talking about 2017. And earlier this year, they published an article calling 2017 the biggest year in horror history.
Interesting.
Definitely money-wise, but let's go through and just as we wrap, this is that start of the year of horror, and that was just an amazing movie.
Yeah, Get Out, that's featured
awesome.
Here.
So let's talk, what's the best thing about horror this year in film, in the movies, according to you guys? And go! Go faster.
A lot of different directions. A lot of different avenues.
They're actually making people think.
Yeah.
And there's a lot more psychological horror coming out, which I love. I'm not a big, Saw person or anything like that. Yeah. But when they play with your head, that's everything.
Like, I appreciate good, complex storytelling. Yeah. Stuff that's just really fascinating. And I really liked It. I'm not a huge horror fan myself.
Yeah.
But it was fascinating.
Loved it.
There
it
were three good. Or four great, big, giant horror films that kind of, like, changed things this year. They were, at the beginning of the year, we had Get Out, which just was just a game changer.
It was a phenomenal movie.
Yeah, it was just
phenomenal.
And I'm not good at Easter eggs or anything like that. That's why I tend to ask so many questions, because I'll miss them. But with Get Out, I picked up a lot, and I don't know if that's because I'm black. Which was, I'm serious.
I laughed through most of it.
Because we've all been through that. So, yeah, we've all, you speak so well. Well, thank you. Yeah, what? I walk on my hind legs, too. I'm doing pretty good. but like when the ticket thing, when she stopped the boyfriend from getting the ticket, I didn't trust her from the start.
I didn't trust her because she was knocking on the door with her fucking head.
She was too liberal. You know, when you get the people that are too liberal, like, I'm really down with you, those are the ones you got to watch out for.
Well, the daddy kept saying,
"You use your face as a door knocker." Yeah. I feel like that's a red flag.
And I said to myself, and I found out later it was true, that she did not want a paper trail when she snatched his ass.
Oh, yeah,
That's what that was. Mm. I was like, she's stopping the hit. Wait a minute. Oh,
and by the way, real quick, I got to warn everybody, we are giving away some spoilers here.
Oh, yeah.
But I do request, please don't give away the end of Split. I have not seen it. I
loved Split, too.
I haven't seen the end yet, but
I haven't seen it yet.
Well,
why? What happened?
I haven't seen it. No, I haven't seen the movie yet.
Oh, the whole. Okay, I thought you meant
James
just the
McAvoy
end.
James McAvoy is incredible.
Yeah, yes. It's awesome.
There are moments when he does not say a word, and you can tell what personality he's going into.
He flips between them. There's like several scenes where he actually flips between like four or five of them all in one take. Like it's one continuous shot.
And you can tell which
one
it is.
And,
he's brilliant.
Just from the
it's
eyes.
It's insane. Like his whole body transforms.
His head actually splits open.
And then that's it.
Anthony's talking. What'd you say, Anthony?
Yeah, and I said at the end, his head actually splits open.
No, is he saying
he's
no.
messing with you?
He's messing with you.
He's
okay.
messing.
Oh my gosh!
Anthony, I'm kidding.
He's the one sending you spoilers.
An alien crawls out of him.
He's sending you spoilers.
Is he one of the people that was emailing us trying to spoil The Walking Dead on Sunday?
No, Anthony's one of the biggest horror fans, and if he hasn't seen it, it probably hasn't been shot yet. Yeah. So.
Yeah. And I've been a big fan of foreign horror lately. Mm-hmm. I've been looking for
foreign horror. Yeah, we've been watching, like, The Babadook was...
Yeah, Babadook was good. You guys should, if you haven't seen a movie called Them, it's a French horror film that's incredible. It all takes place in one night, and that's all I'll say. Along with Train to Busan.
Train to Busan.
Yeah, Anthony and Carrie have both been talking about that. Hey, Anthony, do you have any suggestions for some of the best horror films of this year for you?
Get Out, Split was really great. I saw It Comes at Night. Yo. I thought it was fantastic. I'm still waiting to see Killing of a Sacred Deer.
I've not even heard of that
one.
That's
supposed to be pretty good with the same director I did The Lobster.
That's cool. Nice.
Creep is a good one, too. Creep and Tusk.
Right, there's Those Creep. There's also Creep 2 that's coming out soon as well. Hmm.
And you guys were talking about on Netflix, Babysitter.
Babysitter was so good.
Okay, I'm going to watch
that. Like
anything
one of
with a babysitter is always
I just forgot about that, but I think that's
that
one of my favorite horror
movies.
That
was so bizarre.
Okay. I've seen Gerald's Game.
2017.
Seriously? What? Speaking of Netflix ones, Gerald's Game?
Gerald's Game?
Based on the Stephen King novel.
Did that go well?
It's Netflix, so it's like
sometimes
hard to tell.
His books don't translate well to screen.
Yeah. I really like it.
And Misery are the only two, in my opinion, that did.
What was that?
The
Christmas
rest
one?
Are awful.
Really?
Christmas
one?
Yeah.
With the babysitter.
And It is completely different in a book, but you'll love it as well.
Better Watch Out.
Yeah, Better Watch Out.
I've been wanting to watch that as well. I'm trying to catch that tomorrow.
Don't watch the trailer for it. Yeah, just watch the movie.
Is it Netflix? The trailer literally spoils the whole movie.
Yeah,
it's really bizarre. Don't watch the trailer.
It's the worst trailer ever.
Like, whoever made it, like, they gave away the whole
movie. We're going to have an episode one of these times about how trailers are ruining movies these days.
They really are.
And they're really long, too, which doesn't help.
All right. Television. What is when we talk about horror on TV, what are some of the best things that happened this year? Walking Dead. Yes, I know that.
As always,
you had different.
It's coming back around.
It's coming back around.
It might bring me back in.
He's at it. Derek. What else?
Bates Motel. We talked about it on our Con Guy show, but Bates Motel was really good. It was the epic ending to the show. Kind of took a different direction, brought in the psycho origins of the movie, and kind of did some different things on that, and then also kind of change things up a little bit.
Did any of you guys watch that series?
We didn't see it. No.
It was just so elegant and beautiful.
We'll have to check it out.
Wow.
Is it gone now? Is it
done? Yeah, 5 years, and it's
done.
He
has a new thing going on, the kid.
Yes. Freddie Highmore's on the doctor.
He's now a doctor.
But Luke, you got something on your shirt.
Stranger Things, of course. Season 2.
Yeah. Stranger Things season 2, which I think...
Yeah, it's a very small niche audience, a cult following.
Yeah, not a lot of people.
I'm just looking at that and Punisher.
So. I loved it. I love Stranger Things. Apparently, season 3 is not coming until 2019. Yeah. They've announced.
Wasn't quite enough of this, though.
And they're doing a time jump.
Hanging out.
Why do they make it so long in between?
Because they're Netflix and they can do whatever they want.
Yeah. Exactly. What else? You said Punisher.
Punisher. I'm just beginning Punisher and Stranger Things, actually.
Would you consider that horror? Or?
No, I'd say that's more like action.
It's action drama.
But I guess I think of any kind of ill-ease as some kind of a horror. Because sometimes you're just all tensed up and you don't even know why.
It is a tense show.
So it's a different kind of horror.
I'd say The Sinner, which is not like direct horror, but it's more psychological.
I've heard about
thriller.
Yeah, it's
really
only
great.
8 episodes. It's only one season.
Is that the one with Jessica Biel?
Jessica Biel and Bill
Pullman.
On USA Network, right?
Oh, Jessica Biel.
Phenomenal, yeah.
I'm sorry.
I'm kind of enjoying those limited run things, though, because it's almost like a long movie. It's like it's kind of cool. You don't need 12
seasons. Back when we had miniseries on television.
It's like a miniseries,
And you'd get long ones. And then, like, in the around the 90s, they'd only do 2 nights.
I'm not
going to
date myself.
Can I do some quick fire?
What's that, Anthony?
Can I do some quick fire TV shows that I'm trying to, that I can remember off the top of my head?
Yeah, yeah.
So we had Lore, which was the first podcast that was adapted into a TV show.
I've seen a couple episodes.
I was going to mention that, too.
That
the Robert the Doll episode.
Robert the Doll from Key West was as creepy as heck.
The true story is creepy.
Yeah.
I would suggest listening to the podcast as well and watching the episodes. That was great. There's also been Channel Zero from Sci-Fi that did a 6 episode arc, like another story.
I didn't see any of that. Was that good?
I haven't seen it yet, but I saw the first season that they did, and I liked it. It was based off of a creepypasta called Candle Cove.
Oh yeah,
it was really good. As well as they did, Netflix just recently released Dark. and that's a German horror, like, suspense thriller.
I showed you the trailer for this.
Yeah. Just German horror, I'm in.
I've heard it said, like, it's like a cross between, like, Stranger Things and something more adult, on, like, an adult level.
I'm going.
I'm in.
There's also Lucky that just came out. That's on Sci-Fi. It's supposed to be based off a comic book.
Can you write all these down for me?
Oh, no, not Lucky. Sorry about that. It's called Happy. Happy, yeah.
But that's with Maloney, that's right?
Maloney, yeah.
I love Chris Maloney.
Christopher Maloney in the CGI unicorn?
Yeah, played by Patton Oswalt. Yeah.
I've loved him since Oz, if you guys remember Oz.
But hey, did anyone watch American Horror Story this year?
Yes.
I covered the after show.
I didn't finish it.
Oh, you didn't finish it?
Yeah, like halfway through.
What were you thinking?
I didn't finish that because I didn't like it. I just haven't gotten around to it. But like, I really, it's very different. It's not supernatural. At least it wasn't when I stopped. And the first episode itself was pretty. The first 10 minutes was pretty horrifying for me because it brought back terrible flashbacks.
But I heard it started with the presidential election, but then it went on from there. Like it kind of like followed it and
like pockets of cults. It's very believable to what's our current social climate. I'm sorry. That's why it's so terrifying. Don't apologize for it. You're absolutely right.
Speaking of ones that are like politically based, this one's kind of off the wall, but I'm gonna call it horror just because the concept is so terrifying to me. A Handmaid's Tale.
Oh yeah.
Oh, another, yeah. That's another. Oh.
It is the most screwed up concept ever.
It's on Hulu.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, but can I ask you guys a question? So today or yesterday the Golden Globes were announced, and the lead actor in Get Out. What is his name? It's right here. He was nominated. Guess in which category? Best actor in a comedy or musical?
What?
Oh, what?
Dude, ridiculous.
Can someone please tell me what that is supposed to mean?
Was he in something else?
No. Yeah.
Why would they put
for this?
We need to overthrow the award shows.
Well, while it's true, I laughed for most of that film because, like, I get it. There is no comedy musical anywhere.
But I think it's because they mess. They have a weird way they do.
Yeah,
their
well, that's the same
system.
Thing they did with The Martian.
That could have been.
Yep, The Martian was nominated as a comedy.
Yeah because okay, there are a so couple things in it that make ones. You laugh. That's it, basically.
Well, yeah, the best friend was
hilarious.
Yeah, because everybody knows that guy. while I think it doesn't fit, I will admit I was like the only person in the theater laughing my ass off at that movie.
I gotta go see more movies with you.
Well, I was always wondering if I were white, how would I have felt watching that with someone.
All the white people were terrified. Yeah,
yeah they were like, can we laugh at this? There were parts of it.
Like you feel like, this is so like, just like you said though, like, I think it was so well done because it was terrifying regardless.
Yeah.
Just the feeling of isolation, being the outsider, being made to feel like the outsider in a place, and you're like, wait, I thought we were all good, and then all of a sudden,
I love the.
And she laughed.
Father.
No, I'm laughing because like,
I laughed when the dad kept saying that he would vote for Obama for a third term if he could, like five times.
That stuff made me laugh.
How many times have you heard that too?
That was you and me, we're good. You know why?
Because I would vote for him. She was warning me the first time I went over to his house. Like, wait.
And I love the father. What's her father's name?
I can never remember his name, but he was in.
He's amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, Martin Sheen.
He was in Studio 60.
No. Not Martin Sheen.
The father in Get Out. I love him.
Was he in the West Wing or something?
Yeah. I think so. And
Bradley
he was
Whitford.
Studio 60.
Oh, that's right, Brett.
Thanks.
Yes, he's incredible.
Why am I thinking Martin Sheen was the president? That's the why I was thinking. All right, so we do have to finish up, guys. Real quick. Any of your most favorite experiences this past year in the horror genre? Because like either a haunted house, a convention, anything that kind of like stands out as something that was kind of cool this year.
It was an experience. Like it wasn't just a film; it was definitely an experience. Like it's horror, but it's also drama driven too. And there was like a lot of realistic elements within it. So.
Plus his voice, that high pitched weird tone that he kept taking.
Do it.
Like, can you do it?
Do it.
Do it.
Georgie. I'm better at the ninth.
Do you want it back?
Like, no.
What about you, Derek?
I actually this year went back and watched some of the classic horror films I'd never seen, like Nightmare on Elm Street, Friday the 13th, Pet Sematary, Children of the Corn. I saw all of those this year.
Nice.
Several of them just in the last few weeks, actually.
Oh, I got on that road.
Oh, wow.
There's a new pet. And it was so well done. And I guess we can expect something maybe equally as big. Probably not that big for Pet Cemetery. It comes out in 2 years.
Yeah. What, they're doing a Pet
Cemetery?
A new
Pet Cemetery.
Really?
Well, they have to. It was awful.
Yeah. Sometimes that is better.
It was so bad.
I read that book, too, and it did not live up to the book. But there was a couple scenes that were like the back diseased lady. Oh,
that was creepy.
And the Flash is going to be in it, right? They're going to do a Justice League crossover with Pet Sematary.
Oh, that'd be great.
So, let me just tell you, they made the kid way too cute after death. That was that was one thing. The way he is in the book, that's all I got to say.
I've only seen clips of it. I've never actually seen
Sorry, if I see Denise Crosby, I think Tasha Yar, she's going to die. So it's no surprise.
I know. For me, one of my best experiences of the year was Halloween Horror Nights in Orlando. I thought it was the best event of the year as far as like events. But I got to give a really close second place to Not Spray Farm out here. Carrie, who's usually on the show with us, she took us and she showed us like a crazy good time at that. It was so much fun. Good. It was scary. Okay. It was scary fun.
And they had creative ways of doing the attractions with like you take a flashlight in or you have a gun that you're actually shooting zombies, which was kind of a new experience doing haunted houses that you normally don't get.
The premiere of The Walking Dead was also great. They made an experience. They made it more interactive than the first one, and they had like walkers walking around. And
they had Irony Singleton. He's T-Dog. Outside, like talking to all of us, just in the normal common area.
I saw
a picture of you guys
with him.
I'm glad you cleared that up because I thought his name was Irony, and I was like, no, please. Yeah.
I said it like that too at first.
So, Mr. Singleton,
where was the premiere?
Where was it?
Yeah,
it was at Greek Theater.
That's right.
Yeah, and so that's probably the moment that I like my favorite moment when he like turned around and actually said that he recognized us. And
I know who you guys are.
Man, that's a good moment.
You know that's who cool. I am. You're a real star.
That was just so cool for me. I don't know.
Cheeseman or Candy, do you guys have anything before we close? We got to wrap up here.
Again, for me, Get Out and Train to Busan. I just saw it this year. So good. When the credits come up, you finally relax. You don't even realize that you're on edge the whole time.
Fantastic ending.
It has one of the best endings of any horror movie I've
ever
seen.
Beginning to end, nonstop action. Couldn't beat it.
Everyone's talking. I got to see this.
Yeah, you got to see it.
Cheeseman?
And I'm also jumping on the It wagon. It was great. I enjoyed the movie, the experiences.
Oh, did you do the It experience?
VR thing.
There was an It experience. Cool.
Yeah, like you get in the bus and they had like virtual reality. You're going down in the sewer.
Oh, wow.
What?
Out of the house and all that. And it is close. It's just not turned up. But,
the house up and everything? Was that Hollywood
and I did the house and the VR experience and saw the movie. So just everything around it was a lot of fun. And then one other cool thing I did and Jim also did is see John Carpenter live on Halloween, like play his music and everything.
Nice.
And pretty epic. Anthony, you did something pretty cool this year horror-wise. What was it?
Actually, I got a surprise for you, but yeah, I'll share the one you're talking about right now. I got to see one of my horror icons. He's my favorite horror director, John Carpenter.
Yep.
Oh, nice.
I got to see him live, and I got some autographs by him and everything.
That's cool.
Very
cool.
But just this Saturday, actually, I went to go see The Shape of Water.
Oh, that looks so good.
By my all-time favorite director, Guillermo del Toro. And he means so much to me. Me being a Mexican-American here in America. And then him being a Mexican director, he's influenced my love for cinema ever since I saw Pan's Labyrinth in after-school program one day for the teacher put it on just to shut us up. And it shut me up. Yeah. And
Pan's Labyrinth?
Yeah.
In school?
Yep, I know,
that's
right?
That's a little adult.
But if you look at the screen, I was actually
This was this weekend?
On Saturday night.
Wow.
Congratulations, Anthony. That's awesome.
That's
really cool.
Yeah.
Where'd you meet him?
So after the screening, he kind of got out. It was at the...
By the way, we're looking at a picture of Anthony with Guillermo del Toro. Yes.
It was at the Sherman Oaks, Arclight at Hollywood Arclight, at the Dome. That's where they had it. They had a Q&A, and then afterwards, once he was done, people kind of rushed him, and he was slowly like getting to his car. And I just waited patiently, and I inched myself closer and closer to him.
That's how you do it.
And
that's
then, creepy at all.
A genuine smile, and you look a little misty.
Yeah, because while he was signing an autograph, I just looked at him, and I told him, Guillermo, I've been waiting 10 years to talk to you.
Oh, my gosh.
And I've been waiting 10 years to pay back my debt that ever since I saw Pan's Labyrinth. That's when my love for cinema started.
Aww.
And I've been waiting to pay you back, and I finally get to say thank you so much for everything that you've
done
for me.
Are you going to see The Shape of Water?
I saw it already.
Yeah. that was a screening.
That's the screen.
Oh, God.
We saw it 2 nights ago.
Wow.
I cannot think of a better way to end this special edition of the Best of 2017. That's amazing.
Yeah, I cried right in front of him. It was great.
That's awesome.
and he gave me a hug, and he's like, "You want a picture?" And I was like, "Yeah, I want a picture."
That makes you a real man, baby. Yeah, and don't you let nobody tell you no different.
He actually took my phone. He took my phone and took pictures with me.
Aww. Yeah,
dude, that's awesome.
That's really great. I was like in shock for the rest of the night.
Well, that makes it for a Merry Christmas. But this is a great episode we've had here. That is the best of 2017, the best horror films, best TV that we've seen. Walking Dead, especially, as one of the better episodes of that I've seen in quite some time.
One of my favorite of the series, I think.
I just want to thank you guys for coming on with us tonight. I mean, it's always awesome to have you guys on. Come on as much as you can. I can't wait to hear the stuff you're going to be doing, the stuff you're going to be writing, the stuff you guys are putting together. Let us know what's going on. We would love to follow you.
Absolutely.
Candy, you've been a great guest tonight.
Thank you so much.
You're
going to
come back.
Oh,
I am? You're going
to
come back.
Awesome. I really appreciate it, you guys. I just came to watch my very good friends do their thing. And I was asked to be on, and I'm flattered and happy and blessed and all that. Thank you.
Go ahead.
Oh, shout out to Office Depot in Hollywood for reuniting me with, well, Candy and Luke. That's right. I know, that's the counter I'm referring to.
All right. Thank you guys very much for watching the show tonight. This is the Scare Guy Show. This is the ScareGuy.com. Please check us out. Subscribe to the show here. We got some Ghostbusters coming on. You can find me at Con Guy Jim. And everybody else, tell us where we can find you guys and what's going on.
My name's Derek. You can find me when I actually use Twitter at Con Guy Derek.
Jill Roby, and you can find all of my stuff at www.thelivingrichon.com or www.houseoffangirl.com.
Nice.
Brandon Orvin Griggs, www.thelivingrichon.com and also facebook.com/thelivingrichon.
All right.
Oh, I'm Candy. You can find me on my living room couch until I'm through with my vacation. but when and if they have me back, I will announce everything that's coming.
Well, you're coming back. I can't
wait
to have you back
much.
On.
Awesome. And I'm Cheeseman on the Couch. You can find me on thescareguy.com and at ConGuyLuke on Twitter.
Thank you guys so much. It's been a great year in horror. I just hope next year gets even better. All right. You guys, we'll see you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network. We would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only, and not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.